Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the teaching of our guest speaker this week. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org.
I tell you, God is good. He has been good this week. That Vacation Bible School, wasn't that a wonderful week? And seeing the pictures and the results, I mean, you've done an awesome job. And just the worship today, you can really sense God's presence as we have worshiped together. It is great to be with you. We're going to be back in Isaiah today. If you want to open your Bible to Isaiah 41, and we're going to draw some scriptures from 41, 42, 44, a few different verses as we think about the subject of how God is with us. In fact, in that one of the verses we'll read, it says, "For I am with you." And it is in response to our fears. He says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." It is the presence of God in our life that handles any question, any problem that might come up, any reason for fear. From the time we were little children, it is a common experience to feel fear. And when we grow up, that does not pass away. It does not end. We still have many fears that we face and we deal with. And the Bible says again and again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I mean, you think about all the reasons that people can be afraid. Fear of loss, fear of failure. Fear of pain, fear of the loss of a job, fear of the loss of a loved one, fear of illness, fear of change, fear of missing the way we should go, missing an important decision, fear of fear itself, fear of being alone. I mean, these are common fears that people deal with. But Isaiah is going to say in just a moment as we read it, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is saying, I am with you. Reminds me of a letter that James Dobson received one day from a young mother. And she had written how several months ago she was making several phone calls in the family room where her 3-year-old daughter, Adrienne, and her 5-month-old son, Nathan, were playing quietly. And then she got that silence that every parent knows something's up. She no longer heard the kids playing. They weren't in the family room. So she hung up the phone and she went to find them. And they found them down in Adrian's room. And she was relieved they were just fine, but she was also upset because she had clearly told Adrian that she should never pick up and carry Nathan. You know, that she was too small, he was too big, he might fall, he would get hurt. She was never to carry him. So she said, "How did you get him into your room? I told you, do not carry him." And she said, "Mom, I did not carry him." She said, "Well, how did you get him here?" She said, "I rolled him." Can you imagine what that little guy's world was like spinning around him? But he was a happy camper because he was not left alone in the family room. He was with his sister. And you know, that is often the fears that we feel of being alone in whatever it is that we are facing. In Isaiah 41 and the chapters that follow, there are 7 times that there are verses where Isaiah says, God says, do not be afraid. And we're going to read just those selected verses. So if you've got your Bible open, I'll just walk us through those. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then in verse 13, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Verse 14, "For do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And then turn to chapter 43, verse number one. It says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. The next verse, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the river, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now in verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. And then in verse 25, I am the Lord who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. And then in chapter 44, verse number 2, this is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you, do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Again and again through this passage, God was saying to his people, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. There is a fear that the Bible encourages us to have. It's called the fear of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You know, fears, there are good kinds and there's bad kinds. It's kind of like cholesterol. There's good cholesterol, there's bad cholesterol. I take medicine because I have some of that bad cholesterol. Good fears keep us from the dangers of life. Bad fears rob us of the joy of life. And the Bible talks about a good fear of God. I read a book a few years ago called The Joy of Fearing God. And the writer talked about how fearing God is a mixture of awe and love and respect and faith and submission. It is recognizing that God is incredibly great and we are incredibly needy. It is recognizing that He is powerful and we are weak, that He is holy and righteous and we are sinful, that He is unlimited in His knowledge and we have a very limited perspective, that He is God and we are His creator, His creature, His creation. And I tell you, to not fear God is foolish. To think that somehow we should not fear an awesome and love and reverence an awesome God, that is truly foolish. So I want to talk about fear today, the right kind and the wrong time. Because Paul said in 2 Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's talking about that wrong kind of fear. If we have the right kind of fear, then it chases out the wrong kind of fear. And there's another verse about fear in 1 John. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So it's the perfect love of Jesus Christ and His presence in our life that drives out the wrong kind of fear. You know, one time I heard a statement, and I think it is partially true, but not completely true. And the statement was that fear knocked at the door, and faith answered, and there was no one there. Now, that statement is true in the sense that fear does come unannounced knocking on our door and unexpected things that just happen. But sometimes it is just all an illusion that what we fear never really happens, that we're fearing things that will never take place. So sometimes that is true. It is also true that it is always right to answer fear with faith. But it's not completely true that sometimes when we have fear knocking at our door, we open the door with faith in our heart, that we find there is something there. The diagnosis was cancer, or a loved one is lost, or a job was let go. There is something there at that door. And that's where John gives us great insight, because he talks about how perfect love drives out the reason for that fear. That we can trust the one who gave the promise, and there is no reason to be afraid, even when there is something that is a tragedy that we had feared might take place. So it leads us to put our focus upon the Lord Jesus, that He is with us, that His presence in our life is what makes all the difference in the world. And so I want us to go back through some of these passages in Isaiah and think about how God is teaching us how to face the fears in our life and the answers that he gives. So the first one I want you to look at is verse 13 and 14 of Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 13 and 14. This is a wonderful verse. He says, "For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. Notice, I will help you." Now that is in future tense. I will help you. He's helped us in the past, but he's saying whatever you're going to face in the future, I'm going to take hold of your hand and I will help you. And so he said, "Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Notice in this passage that it identifies who God is. He is the Lord and he is your God. That it is the God that you have a personal relationship with, and he takes hold of your hand. We sang a lot about holding on to God, but we also sang about God holding on to us. And I want to tell you, both are important, but God has a stronger grip than we do. And I'm so glad that he says in this passage that he takes hold of our hand, and he holds us. You know, it's like a little child grabbing hold of a parent's hand, and they're hanging on, but they might slip. But if that parent is holding on to their hand, then they're probably not going to slip out. The promise also identifies not only who God is, but who we are. He says, we are like a worm, very needy. We are little in our own strength. The answer to our fears is not our strength. It is the strength that comes from God. In fact, the Message translation, or paraphrase the Bible, says verse 13 this way, "That's right, because I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I'm not letting go. I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here to help you." So what this is saying is, as I look to the future, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know even what the rest of this day might bring. But what we do know is we have a God who is holding on to us, and he has said, "I will help you. Whatever comes in this day or this coming year, I will help you." There's no reason to really fear as a child of God the future, because God will be there to help us. That's what he is saying in this passage. God promises to help us. What a wonderful promise that is. I remember one time, I'm not very mechanical as far as working on a car, but I've tried, especially in early marriage. I would try to save a little bit fixing the car. One time I even tried to, we don't even have carburetors anymore, but my car had a carburetor, this was years ago, and I was going to overhaul the carburetor. So I bought a kit, got the instructions, this for YouTube that show you how to do it, and I worked late into the night. And I got everything back together. And Ellen had already gone to bed. It was so late when I laid down. She asked me, she said, "Well, how did it go?" I said, "Well, I've got everything back together except this one spring." Well, that was an important spring. I had to get one of my deacons to come over who was a mechanic. And he said, "Brother Bob, I'll help you." I felt total peace then. I knew he would help me get it right. Well, that's the way life is. We don't know what life's going to bring to us. But we knew, though, that God says, "I will help you." Man, what a wonderful situation that is. There's nothing that can come and happen to us that God's help is not all that we need. So as we look to the future, he says, "Do not be afraid. I will help you." But there's another passage in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. Listen to what this says. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Now, this is a beautiful passage that describes a spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. He created us, he formed us, but he says, "I redeemed you." This is a spiritual word. It means that we are made right with Christ through trusting in Him. We are forgiven, that we have nothing to fear of our past. Maybe there were mistakes and we fear, well, what if those mistakes come back to haunt me someday? Listen, if we know Christ, all our sins are forgiven. We are redeemed. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice and know them. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. There is no fear in ever losing our relationship with Christ because it is maintained by the Lord. He has redeemed us. We did not work to earn our salvation. We received it by repentance and faith in Christ. And we cannot fail to work and lose it. It is a gift that He has given to us. And we should live our life without fear that we will lose our relationship with Christ. You know, Peter talked about that, and he stated it in a powerful way. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, I think, verse 3. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. I want to tell you, all the things we have are going to waste away someday. The car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, everything you have will pass away someday. But you have in Christ an inheritance that will never pass away. It will not even spoil or fade in any way. And everything this world has cannot diminish what we have in Christ to the smallest degree. You know, in verse 2, he talked about when you go through the waters and when you go through the storm and go through the river, these are earthly dangers that we have. And he says, but I have redeemed you. And what Peter is saying here is that all these things in life that can happen to us, all the trials that we may go through, all the difficulties that we may go through, they do not diminish in 1 minute what we have in Jesus Christ. In fact, we will carry that with us to heaven, that inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. So when we look to the future, there really is nothing to fear because what we have in Christ, what matters most, is something that we cannot lose, and God keeps it for us. So as we look to the future, we say, God's going to help me. When we look to the past, we say, God has redeemed me. And the most valuable thing I have is what He has kept for me in heaven without spoiling, fading, or diminishing in any way. But let's go back to the first verse I read, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Boy, I love this passage. It's a great one to memorize if you've not ever memorized this passage. Here's what the prophet said, so do not fear, for I am with you. If you notice the theme of that phrase, for I am with you, has been in several of these promises. So do not fear, for I am with you. That is the answer to fear, the presence of God, the presence of Jesus in our life, every moment, every day. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And as we read a moment ago in verse 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I tell you, the greatest fear that people experience is that of being alone, or especially feeling abandoned by God. Where is God and what is going on in my life? Wondering if God knows, if He will do anything, or if He can do anything. In this short verse, God says 5 things about His presence in our life. He says, I am with you. He is right there with us. He says, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. That's the God that we have. He is so good to us, as we sang, because He is that kind of God. He is with us. He is strengthening us. He is helping us. He is upholding us. So we have nothing to fear that might come any day, even this day, because God is with us this day. And God is helping us. And when you think about Jesus, how often he said this very thing, this is how Isaiah ties into the Gospels. That one day Jesus was healing a woman, and there was a man named Jairus that had come to him earlier and said his daughter is very sick and she's about to die. And while Jesus got interrupted helping this other woman, some of the helpers of this synagogue leader came to him and said, "Don't worry the master anymore. Your daughter has died." And Jesus, right there presence in the midst of that tragedy. You imagine what that man was feeling at that moment. The fear, the heartbreak, the overwhelming grief. And Jesus looked to him and said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Do not be afraid. He was present in that situation. One time Jesus sent his disciples out on the Sea of Galilee. They were going across the boat, and Jesus went into the mountains to pray. And while he was praying, a storm came upon the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples were fighting for their life. I mean, it was tossing them every which way. And so Jesus left the mountain of prayer, and he came down, and he walked across the water, walked on the water. And they thought he was a ghost. They were very afraid. But as he got near to the boat, he said, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." He is saying, "I am here with you. Don't be afraid. For he is with us again and again." That's what the Bible says in Isaiah and in the Gospels. In fact, before Jesus was ascended to heaven, remember he gave us the Great Commission. Do you know what he said at the end of that Great Commission? He said, "And I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I tell you what we need to know about what Isaiah had to say and what Jesus had to say. We need to know that when we have a relationship with Christ, he is with us at all times. And I have nothing to fear as I look to the future, because Jesus said, "I will help you." And I have nothing to fear as I look to the past, because Jesus has redeemed me. And I have an inheritance that will never spoil. And I have nothing to fear about today, because whatever happens, Jesus is with me. I read a story about an Episcopal priest who, when he was in seminary, was earning some money, and he was reading to blind students. And so there was a young man that he met who was working on his master's. He had not only gotten his bachelor's degree, but even though he was blind, he was now almost completed with his master's work. And so as he was reading to him some of the lessons, he asked him some questions. He says, "When did you lose your eyesight?" And he said, "It was when I was 13. There was a chemical explosion, and I was blinded immediately." And he says, "How did it make you feel?" He said, "Man, I was afraid and I was mad. I was afraid of how was I going to live and accomplish anything losing my eyesight. And I was mad at God, and I was mad that this had happened, and I was angry, and I felt life was over. I felt helpless in that situation." And the priest said, "Well, obviously you got over that, because now you've accomplished many great things. And so what was the change?" And he told about a time about 6 months after he had lost his eyesight, that around the house, he was just staying holed up in his room. He wouldn't come out and eat with the family. He didn't want to do anything or try anything. He was just gripped by fear and anger and all those things, and he was pulling away. And he said, "One day my dad came in and said, 'Son, you know, this is the time that we put the storm windows on the house.' He said, 'You've always been doing that, so I expect you to do that before I come home tonight.'" And then the son heard the door close. And he was sitting there thinking, "He can't ask me to do that. I'm blind. You know, how can I go find the tools? How can I find the storm windows? How can I do that? And if I try to do that and climb up on the ladder, I probably will fall and I will get hurt. And then my dad will feel really bad about asking me to do that." And somehow that made a lot of sense to him. So he decided, "You know what? I'm just going to do that. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. and he's going to feel real bad when I hurt myself. So he ran out the door, and he went out to the barn, and he had done it so many times. He was able to find the tools and the ladder and the storm door and windows, and he got it all done. It was amazing to him. And the priest asked, was that when you had a turnaround? You could see you really could do it? He said, no. He said, I found out later that when my dad shut the door, he had not left. He was right there. He followed me the whole time. He was ready to catch me if I fell. He was ready to help me if I needed help. And he said, that taught me a greater truth, that I have a Heavenly Father who is right there with me every moment of every day to help me, to strengthen me, to hold me. I tell you what, that young man's life was transformed by realizing the presence of his earthly and heavenly Father in his life. And that's the transformation that happens when we take to heart what Isaiah has said, God said, do not fear, for I am with you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are that kind of God, that you are present in our life every day, that nothing will happen that you're not there to help us and strengthen us, uphold us, if we will simply turn and trust in you. Lord, we thank you that you're such an awesome God that we do have a fear of you that's healthy and holy, that's based upon what a righteous God you are, and a loving God, a merciful God, a God that we can trust completely. And even when we don't understand some of the things that happen in our life, we know that you are there with us. And Lord, you strengthen and help. So Lord, we thank you that as we go out this day and this week, that we can trust you and know that you're watching over us. And Lord, you're also shaping us to be more like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.